confused issues of Hilchos Muktzah, and that is the topic of Kli Shemalach de L'Isser. And this is really something which is a bit confusing considering all that we know, and I'll explain why very, very soon. There are a number of psukim in Nehemiah, which describe a global Chilul Shabbos problem that was taking place. I put it on the first source sheet on the paper, and it really starts in Parak Yud Gimel at Pasuk Tesvav. It goes through Pasuk Chaf Aleph. And we're not going to read through all the psukim right now, but you'll see that in Pasuk Tesvav it says, "Bayamim Mahema Reisi Biyehuda Darchem Gitois Bashabbos, Mevien Haremois, V'Aimsim Al Chamerim, V'Af Yein Anavim Uteinim V'Chom Maso, Mevien Yushlaim Biyem Shabbos, V'Oed Biyayim Michram Tzayet." So if you see in the English, at that time I saw men in Judah treading wine presses on Shabbos, and others bringing heaps of grain, loading them onto donkeys, also wine, grapes, figs, and all sorts of goods, and bringing them into Yerushalayim on Shabbos. I admonished them there, and then for selling the provisions. Basically, it's a global discussion of wide Chilul Shabbos that was going on. And you'll notice as you read through the psukim there, that Nehemiah really chastised them for being Mechallel Shabbos, to the point where you'll see in Pasuk Chaf Aleph, we'll read the English at least, it says, "But I warned them, saying, what do you mean by spending the night alongside the wall? If you do so again, I will lay my hands upon you." In other words, Nehemiah really got very tough with the nation because there was very widespread Chilul Shabbos, which was obviously a very, very big problem that was taking place at the time in Yehuda. And at that time, there were a number of gezeiros that took place that Nehemiah put into place to try to control all the widespread Chilul Shabbos that was taking place. The Gemara in Maseches Shabbos Daf Kuf Chaf Gimel Mabez describes some of those gezeiros. And let's see that inside. Source number 2. Tan Rabbanan. Barishayna hayu aimrim shleisha kelim nitalim b'Shabbos. Because of the severity of the Chilul Shabbos that was taking place, Nehemiah had no choice other than to impose very, very strict policies with regard to kelim hanitalim b'Shabbos. And what were those? It was miktsaya shel devela, v'zuama lisatrin shel kedera, v'sakin kitana shel gabi shulchan. 3 things he allowed people to move around on Shabbos. It was a knife that was designated for cutting these round pressed figs, which are kind of these caked figs, and a combined spoon and fork to clean the filth of a pot, and a small knife that was on the table. Those are the only 3 things that Nehemiah allowed people to move around on Shabbos. Other than that, said Nehemiah, everything is muktzah. You can't move anything around. Everything is off limits. Everything is muktzah. And he did that because he had no choice. He had to protect the very widespread Chilul Shabbos that was taking place. He had to put order into place and to get people back to being Shomer Shabbos. And that was only able to be done through imposing very strict policies with regard to Shemirah Shabbos. That included a very, very heavy level of gezeirah with regard to muktzah. So literally everything became muktzah besides for those 3 above described kelim. Ultimately, the Gemara says, we're in source number 2, in the second line, hitiru, v'chazru v'hitiru, v'chazru v'hitiru. As Klal Yisrael started ultimately obeying the halachas, and they started taking seriously Shmiras Shabbos, Nehemiah felt it was no longer necessary to keep such a strict sanction of Hilchos Shabbos. It was no longer so important for him to have such strict policies with regard to muktzah. So what did he do? He slowly took away some of those gezeirais, ad sha'amru, until he said, ultimately he said, kol ha'kelim nitalim b'Shabbos, all kelim can be moved on Shabbos, chus min ha'meser ha'gadol v'yasid shem ha'charesha. A person can move anything which is a keli, unless it is a meser ha'gadol, a very large knife, the Yosid Shemacharesha, and the blade of a plow. So now we have to put this into context over here. Up until now, what we were describing was that muktzah, by definition, is taking something which does not have a purpose and giving it a purpose on Shabbos. We described that with regard to stones, with regard to just sticks that were lying in the backyard, and a number of other items which we classified as muktzah machmas gufa. All those items were muktzah, and they're muktzah because they have no purpose. They have no purpose because they're not designated for any purpose, and therefore giving them a purpose on Shabbos would be repurposing them in a way which violates muktzah. That was how we described muktzah up until now. Taking an item without a purpose and redesignating it on Shabbos and giving it a purpose. That's classic muktzah. Here we're finding an entirely new concept of muktzah. And that is that kelim, items that have an inherent purpose, they're useful by their definition, nevertheless came along Nehemiah and said, my dear friends, you can't use this on Shabbos either, because using them on Shabbos is going to bring us to a violation of Shabbos. That's what's described in the first source in Nehemiah, Parak Gimel, the 13th Parak of Nehemiah, about the widespread Chilul Shabbos that was happening, and he had no choice other than to impose very strict halachas with regard to Shmiras Shabbos. Ultimately, as Klal Yisrael started being Shemir Shabbos better, what happened was, he started loosening up those gezeiros. All right, so now, we have to also, I want to take a little bit of a, before we go to source number 3 and source number 4, I want to take a little bit of a stop and go to source number 5, because this is very important. David HaMelech lived before Nehemiah. Yet we find a Gemara, which was, we covered in Daf Yomi not too long ago, which describes the dramatic death of David HaMelech. What happened there? In source number 5, we have this Gemara. Kol yoyma de Shabta, every day of Shabbos, have a yasev v'garas kol yoyma. David HaMelech would learn consecutive throughout the entire Shabbos. Hahu yoyma de boy lemenech nafshe, it came that Shabbos, when it was the predestined time for David HaMelech to pass on. Kamalach hamavis kamei v'lo yachilei. The Malach HaMavis was not able to take his neshama because he was engrossed in learning the entire day. The Gemara explains, the Lahavi Pasak Pumi Migirsa. His mouth did not stop learning for 1 second. Amar my Avidlei. The Malach HaMavis said, what am I supposed to do? Heavily busta acheri besi. So there was an area behind the house. And asa Malach HaMavis salak ubachish be'ilane. Malach HaMavis went and he violently shook the trees, and nafik lemichse. David HaMelech heard this commotion outside, so he went outside to see what was going on. Of course, as he was going to check what was going on, he still was continuing to learn Baal Peh. He was continuing to learn, despite the fact that he was going outside. But what happened was, havi salik bedarga. He was going down the steps, and ipchis darga mitute. The step shook from underneath him, and he tripped. And for that 1 second that he tripped, he lost his focus on what he was learning. Ishtik v'nach nafshe. He stopped learning and he died. So now that's the dramatic story of David HaMelech dying. Shalach Shlema lebe midrasha. Shlema came and he said, Abba meisimut b'chama. My father died. And his corpse, the corpse of David HaMelech, is lying in the sun. Uklavim shel beis abba re'evim. The dogs of my father's house are very hungry. So he didn't want to leave the body just sitting there until after Shabbos. So he asked them, what should I do? Ma'asa, what should I do? What was his shaila? His shaila was that a mace, a corpse, we learned this last week, is muktzah. The body of his father, of David HaMelech, was clearly muktzah. So now we have a fundamental question here. They gave him an idea. They gave him a suggestion of what he can do to move this body. So now we see very clearly that even in the times of David HaMelech, there was a concept of muktzah. So now the gezeira of Nehemiah, which came later, obviously was coming to add something on to what already existed in the times of David HaMelech. What was that? So that is what we're going to describe as gezeiras kelim. And that is an added element of of mukta, which applies even to a keli. Up until now, mukta only applied to items which had no use. And using them on Shabbos is by definition repurposing them and giving them a new use. Here we're describing a different type of mukta entirely. And what is that? That's what we're going to refer to as gezeiras kelim. A gezeira decree that was made on items which are kelim. And items which theoretically should be permissible to be used on Shabbos. Because it's a keli. It has an inherent use. Nevertheless, it was forbidden to use them on Shabbos. Now, we're going to see exactly the progression of how this worked. We're going to go back now to source number 3. So the Gemara asks, Mayhi tiru v'chazur v'hi tiru. V'chazur v'hi tiru. What was the progression of continuously being matir, permitting different kelim to be used? What was that progression? How did it work? So I'm skipping a part of the Gemara because I don't want to go through all the details. We're going to go to the Maskana of the Gemara. El Amar Rava. Rava tells us as follows. First, as Klal Yisrael started behaving themselves, and they were Shemir Shabbos properly, he tiru davar shemalachte leheter bein letzarech gufay bein letzarech mekaymai. That means a davar shemalachte leheter, a keli, which is its purpose, its function is mutter. Let's just take, for example, I don't want to take things which are on the table. Let's say a pitcher which is used for liquids. So the pitcher is a kli shemalachta leheter. It's a keli. Its purpose is to hold liquid and to pour it into a cup. That's a kli shemalachta leheter. That's its function is perfectly mutter on Shabbos. What's the halacha? You're allowed to use those items. Letzarech gufa, letzarech makom. In other words, to use it for the purpose of its own function. In other words, you have a pitcher, you want to use it to put water in it. Or letzarech makomo, it's in the way, I would like to move it out of my way. V'chazur v'hitiru michamu letzel. Ultimately, they said, kelim shemalachtan leheter, items like a pitcher, would be permissible to be used, even michamu letzel. Michamu letzel is a description which ultimately describes for the sake of protecting the keli. For example, it's outside in the sun, and the particular material of this keli is very sensitive to sunlight, and I don't want it to get ruined. I'm allowed to move it to protect the keli from getting ruined. After that, Klal Yisrael continued to be Shemir Shabbos properly. Not only did they permit using a kli shemalachte leheter, a keli whose function is permissible, like a butcher's knife. You're allowed to cut meat. So they said, you're allowed to use that on Shabbos. You can use it for whatever purpose you want. And they also said, you can use a kli shemalachte le'iser, for example, a hammer or a screwdriver. I can use that on Shabbos, letzarech gufo makomo. If I find a permissible act with a hammer or a permissible act with a screwdriver, I can use it for that purpose. Likewise, if it's in the way, I need to use the space in my counter and my hammer is there, I can move the hammer away because it's in the way. However, michamu letzel lo. You cannot move a hammer simply because it's outside in the rain or because it's outside in the sun and the elements are going to be a danger to it. So there, that's where they ended up. Vadayin ba'adam echad, we're not going to focus so much on this. So let's get these terms straight. Using a keli for its intended purpose should generally be permissible. So for example, if you have a large butcher knife, if its intended purpose is permissible on Shabbos because you're cutting meat, so then as long as the meat is not mukta, so you're cutting meat, you have it in the kitchen, it's used in the kitchen to cut the meat, that's obviously perfectly permissible. Now, kli shemalachta l'iser, a hammer, its purpose is to build, to knock in nails. That's something which is, its function, the primary function of a hammer, is to do iser. Because, ultimately, Nechemya loosened up all his gezeiros, he said, you can take this hammer, and you can use it even to open up a coconut. Or you can use it to open up walnuts, if that's what you so please. Why? Because Shmira Shabbos started to get back intact. However, the one thing that was left in place was a kli shemalachta le'iser, is forbidden to be moved, mechamo letzel, just for the sake of protecting the actual keli from getting ruined by the elements. If you look at sources number 6, 7, and 8, that ultimately describes the way I defined, that's Rashi was defining the terms of Tzaruch Gufo Makomo. Let's just see in source number 6, Hitiru Lutaltu Letzaruch Gufo. Letzaruch Gufo means for the actual body of the Keli, Im Hutzruch Lishtamish Begufa Keli. If I have a need to be Mishtamish, to use the actual physical body of this Keli. Rashi in source number 7, Shagufo Tzaruch Od Lemalacha Acheres Shel Heter. In other words, I have a Klisha Melach Dole Isser. I have a keli whose primary function is forbidden. In other words, a hammer, a classic example, its function is to build. However, I found in a permissible act that I can do with the hammer. Halacha is, it's mutter to do that on Shabbos. What does mechama letzel mean? That means, she'eino tzarach lo achshav, lo legufo v'lo mekamo. I have absolutely no purpose for this hammer at this point in time right now. I don't have any coconuts to break open. I have no walnuts to break open. I really have nothing to do with this hammer right now. Similarly, it's not in my way. It's perfectly fine outside. Why do I want to move it? I want to move it simply because I don't want it to get ruined. I left it outside. The material of the hammer is such that if it stays outside in the sun for a long time, or it stays outside in the rain for a long time, it's going to get ruined. That's why I want to move it away. Similarly, I don't want it to be left outside because someone might steal it. All those things are considered mechama letzel because the entire purpose in me handling this hammer on Shabbos is to protect the hammer. That remained forbidden. The question becomes with another category which you didn't address. Tiltel shalo letzarech klal. In other words, moving something for no purpose. Why am I moving it? I don't know. But I'm just moving it for no purpose. It's clear that everything is usur to be metaltal shalo letzaruch klal. Now the question becomes, and that's true even for klisha melach de leheter. And the reason is because Nehemiah imposed these gezeros on everything. He imposed the gezeros on a klisha melach de leiser, on a klisha melach de leheter, and slowly he started removing those gezeros. Until he ultimately said, even a klisha melach de leheter, it can be used for its designated purpose. It can be used for an alternative purpose. It can be used to get it out of your way. It can be moved, even if it's just simply protecting the klisha melach de leheter, the keli which is designated for permissible use. However, he never said you could use a klisha melach de leheter for no purpose at all, or I should say, you could move it for no purpose at all. So that now becomes a question which the Ran addresses in source number 9. And he says, we need to understand that even though the Gemara said that Nehemiah only permitted the use of Kalim, and the Gemara describes 3 Kalim, the Ran says, Umiyu afilu im naimar kein, the klisha melachta leheter, shalo letzaruch klau asu letaltalo, hani mili v'kalim, avo besifrei kodesh, but with svarim, v'ochlim, and food, ein lanu, v'fisha kalim shenestru mitchila, ein lanu latir and elosh mashta pirshu chachamim, avo kisvei kodesh v'ochlim shlo nestru mi'olam, kol machmer olav lavi raya. Says the Ran, a very, very important, very fundamental yesod over here. Even though the Gemara specifies only 3 things that Nehemiah originally left out of his Gezerah, says the Ran, there are certain things which we know he did not include in his Gezerah. Those include Sfarim, they include food, and Tosfos also says it includes flatware on the table. Because clearly, Nehemiah never said there are restrictions on silverware. Because how did they eat? So all items which we could assume safely never made it into the Gezerah of Nehemiah were never subject to any of his rules. So forks, knives, sfarim, food, all these items, clearly Nehemiah never said there should be a problem to move that on Shabbos. So therefore, you could move them, and you could move them for no purpose at all. However, kalim, which did not necessarily need to be used on Shabbos, those kalim are permissible to be moved for their purpose, for an alternative purpose, if they're in the way, but for no purpose at all, just because you want to move them, that is something which is going to still be remain forbidden. Now, it should be noted, it's very hard to find the case of moving something for no purpose at all, because generally you have some reason why you're doing it. There's some reason why you're moving it. And the Aruch HaShulchan writes clearly, if there's even any minimal reason why you're moving it, that would be permissible for Klishim Lach Dilaheter. Let us now focus on, and you should see, Mishnah Berurah in source number 11 writes, V'hu adin kosos uke'aros utzluchis v'sakin shalgabi HaShulchan, all items that generally belong on the table, afilu enu el letzorach hakeli, shem yishavar o yuganev, avashlo letzorach klal asu lo tautla, kisvi hakodesh v'och limut lo tautla filish letzorach klal. So he writes exactly what we just got finished speaking out, that kelim shemalachtan leheter amutter for whatever purpose, any small purpose, you could move them. However, svarim and food do not have any restrictions at all. Now, let us focus now on kli shemalachto le'iser. Mishnah in source number 12 lists a number of kelim, of items, which their primary function is forbidden. And that's, the Mishnah says as follows, Notel adam kornis lefatzea bo eso agozim. A person could take a mallet, which is generally used for labor, prohibited on Shabbos. He could use it to crack open nuts. Kardom lachdochbo eso devela. A person could take an axe to cut open figs. And the Mishnah goes through a number of different kalim, which their primary focus, their primary function that is forbidden on Shabbos. However, you can transform it and you can use it now for a malacha hamuteris b'Shabbos. And Shulchan Aruch in source number 13, clearly the Shulchan Aruch paskins that way. Kli shemalachto le'iser mutal l'tatlo, a kli shemalachto le'iser, a keli whose primary function is forbidden on Shabbos, mutar l'tatlo, you're allowed to move it. The imnishtamish l'sabin hashmashas. Let's skip that because that's what we discussed last week. However, it says bein letzaruch. Let's, in other words, skip those couple words there and go mutter letautelo bein letzaruch gufo could go in cornish shel zahavim o nefachim lefatzei boas hagozim kardam lachtach boas hadvela bein letzaruch makomo, whether it's needed for its place. So here clearly Shulchan Aruch is codifying the halacha we just mentioned above, that a kli shemalachto l'iser can be used either letzaruch gufo, it is being used for the purpose of the actual body of the keli. In other words, I found a permissible act, a permissible function of this keli, or if it is in my way, I can move it out of the way. However, clearly in the last line of source number 13, Shulchan Aruch says, avo mechamo letzel, simply to move it to protect it from the elements, she'eino tzarech letaltelo. He does not have any reason to move it. Other elo mipnei she'yare she'yishaver o she'yiganiv sham, that would be forbidden. In other words, clearly as we spoke, a kli shemalach de l'iser, a hammer, would be forbidden to move it just for the sake of protecting the hammer. However, if you're moving it because you found a function for it on Shabbos, or because it's in your way, that's going to be mutter to do that on Shabbos. Okay. Now, we have to be able to define what is a kli shemalachto le'iser. This is something which actually is very difficult under some circumstances to figure out. Let me give you an example. Everyone agrees that a pot, its general function is to cook, right? You need a pot in order for food to cook. You can't just take food and put it on the fire because it won't cook properly. You take water and pour it over the fire is going to go out. The pot plays an integral function in the cooking process. So a pot, generally speaking, is a kli shemalachto le'iser. What about pyrex or oven to tableware? So these are pots. They're used to cook. They are made to go inside the oven. They are manufactured to go inside the oven. So it's a pot. but it also is used as serving ware. It's used to come to the table. So is that a klisha malachto le'isser? Or is that a klisha malachto le'heter? What's the difference? You can clearly serve in it, because even if it's a klisha malachto le'isser, I'm allowed to serve my food in it. No one ever said that there would be a problem to serve your food in a klisha malachto le'isser, because that falls under the category of the tzorach gufa. I'm using it. However, the first nafkamina, the first difference would be, can I move it nicham letzel? If there's no food in it, can I take this pot and move it from outside to inside if it's raining? Move it from outside to inside if there's a chance it'll get stolen. Similarly, we're going to see very soon in Mishnah Berurah in source number 18 that this whole idea of using a klisha malachto le'isser L'tzorach gufo makomo is only when you have no other option. So, let's just take a practical case. A pen. A pen is a klisha malachto le'isser. Its general function is to write. Let's say you're the balkori in a shul, and you need, in order for you to keep focus on what you're reading, you need a pointer. And you can't find the yad in the shul. It went missing. So you say, you know what? In the office, they have pens. So I'll take a pen, and I'll point to the Sefer Torah. So now, I don't recommend this, but theoretically that should be mutter. Why? Because although the pen is a klisha malachto le'isser, it's a keli, its function is to write, and therefore I can repurpose that to be used on Shabbos for a permissible act, which is to point to a Sefer Torah. That would theoretically be mutter. However, says the Mishnah Berurah, you can only do that if you really have no other option. You really have no other way of pointing to the Sefer Torah. So if you could use your finger, or you can use anything else in the shul that would not be muktzah, you should do that. So now, if a pen would be a klisha malachto le'heter, you certainly would be able to use it. So now our question becomes, when I have items which have a function of both iser and heter, how do I view it? How do I view these items? Can they be moved even to protect the item? And can they be used even if I have other options available? The Mishnah Berurah in source number 14 says as follows: Shemalachto le'isser kolomar. That means to say is shemiyuchedas ledavar sha'asr lasos b'shabbos. It is designated. It is miyuchad. It is designated for iser. Vafilu imrak rov melachto. Even if only most of its malacha, of its function, is the Isser, who gamke mechlauzes. So the Mishnah Berurah starts to give us a metric. It says the Mishnah Berurah, it depends on the majority of its use. So in other words, if I have an item which is sometimes used for Isser, and sometimes used for Heter, let's measure it out. Let's see which one is more frequent. But the Bir Halacha goes a little bit more, and he explains in greater detail. In source number 15, we'll start from the words, Avol im derech hakeli, at the end. Aval, im derech hakeli lishtamish ba lishnehem. If it is perfectly normal to use a keli for both iser and for heter, v'rak shal iser mishtamshin ba yoser, and by happenstance, it just happens to be that I use it for iser more frequently, minolon demakze daite mine, de lahavi lemalach, de lo asuya, lemalach es heter gamke. So the Bir Halacha is saying, what he seems to be saying at least is, you can't just view the amount of times that you use it as the metric system that you're going to use to decide whether it's going to be a klisha malachto le'isser or heter. In other words, if I have, let's just take oven to tableware. Say, I count every time I use this Pyrex dish throughout the year. And I say, you know what? 57 times this year, I use it to bake food in the oven. 42 times I used it to serve food to the table. Oh, so it must be it's a klisha malachto le'isser. Says the Bir Halacha, that doesn't make any sense. Why would the fact that I just used it more in the oven make it a klisha malachto le'isser? So rather, the Bir Halacha understands if the normal function of this item is generally isser, then it's viewed as a klisha malachto le'isser. if the normal function is both, so then it's not a klishim alach del iser. It's by default a klishim alach del iser ula heter, and therefore I can move it just to protect the item, and number two, use it even if I have other choices available. And this really brings us to a very interesting discussion. And that is the topic of guns. A gun. What is the function of a gun or a rifle? So most people would say right away the function of a gun is to shoot, either to shoot when you're hunting or to shoot a criminal and to kill the person or to at least to injure the person. However, many poskim actually talk about the fact that a gun, shelo b'shas milchama, not during war. If you were to look at the gun, or any gun owner, and ask him, how often have you used your gun to kill somebody? The person would say, well, I never did. Or a person who perhaps even did, probably would say, once. You talk to a police officer, even the ones who are in very, you know, heavily crime-ridden neighborhoods, you ask them, how often do you use your gun to actually shoot somebody? They would say very, very infrequently. So now when a police officer carries a gun and you ask him, what's the function of your gun? Is he going to say the function of my gun is to kill people? Or will he say the function of my gun is to create a certain level of authority, to create a certain threat that people look at me and they say, you know what? I'm not going to mess with that person because I know that if I do, the gun will be released from its holster. So what is the function of a gun? The poskim are very, very much divided on this. And Reb Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, in the Sefer Mincha Shlomo, the Shalos Hatshuvos de Responsa, he writes, this is in source number 16, Ach mashamarti sharova o akdach, didim keklishim alachtam leheter, referring to different types of weapons, nachon adavar, that is correct, kihem omdim beikar lehatolas ema vafachad. The primary function of a gun is not to shoot people. The primary function of a gun is to give ema and pachad, to instill a certain fear on those who it's meant to instill fear on. So you have a gun, a guard standing in front of the shul, and the guard, he or she is carrying a gun. Are we saying that that guard is bringing their gun to shul that morning because they're expecting to shoot somebody? Or because the fact that we have a guard standing by the front door with a gun creates a certain presence where people know, don't walk in there if you want to cause crime. Says Reb Shlomo Zalman, that's the function of a gun. The primary function of a gun is to create ema v'fachad. And that is a tashmish shel heter.
I understand. As it happens, I have a fire extinguisher sitting a few inches away from where I am right now. I've never in my entire life use this fire extinguisher to put out a fire.
I don't think you come to shul with your... Yeah, I don't think you come to shul with your fire extinguisher either. Right? Do you walk around with a fire extinguisher just in case you find a fire? No, you have a fire extinguisher. Its purpose is just in case there's a fire, you'll put out the fire. But a gun is something that people constantly walk around with. You ask a gun, a person's selling a gun, and you say to him, how long have you used it? Well, I've used it for 20 years. Really, how many people did you shoot? Zero. Oh, so you used it for 0 years. You don't say, well, you used it for 0 years. You say, you used it for 20 years. How many bullets have you shot? Well, I've gone to the range and I've carried it around. Ultimately, the gun is used for 20 years, even though it was not used to actually shoot or kill people. Now, I actually spoke to Rav Asher Weiss about this. A number of months I had the opportunity to spend some time with him. And I asked him his opinion on this. And he disagreed with it. And he said that you can't tell me that the function of a gun is just to create aim of a fachad. And he said, just look around. There are guns where the price varies on these guns very, very widely. What's the reason? Because of the precision in the shot. So now you're going to go ahead and tell me that all guns, the entire purpose is to create aim of a fachad. Now, which gun is scarier? You see You see this in Israel all the time. You see a guy walking around with a massive rifle, or a guy who has a little small gun, a little handgun. A massive rifle gives off much more of a presence of a gun. Is it more expensive than a handgun? Quite the opposite. It's not true. Why? Because the manufacturer the gun is charging you for a precise shot. And therefore, says Rav Asher Weiss, you can't go ahead and tell me that the primary function of a gun is to create aim of a facha. Now, I don't really understand what he's saying, because he's telling me why the manufacturer is charging us money. But ultimately, it has nothing to do with the manufacturer, as the Bi'ur HaLacha explains. It has to do with what its functions are. So the fact that the manufacturer charged more money is something which I don't really understand why that should be kaveh. Why should that go ahead and establish for me whether or not it's going to be muktzah? Now, I have to point something out, which is, we pointed this out last week as well, and we have to point it out every week. Whenever we're talking about heterim and muktzah, we have to realize sometimes we're talking about the strict halacha. If I'm concluding tonight that a gun is going to be a klisha malachta leheter, according to Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, he still does not mean that you should invite all your friends to check out all your ammunition on Shabbos and to hold them and to try them and to see how they feel. Where is the weight? In what position do you hold it? That's not the way you spend your Shabbos. It certainly is not appropriate for Shabbos for a person to go ahead spending his entire Shabbos demonstrating all the guns he has around his house. But again, with regard to a person carrying a gun, it would be permissible for a person to carry a gun if it's not muktzah. But there's something even more interesting. You can see this in source number 17. He writes as follows: Mikol makom nira derova o aktach kede lahata b'meima shaper chashiv kitzorech gufo. Says the Shmir Shabbos Kelchasa in source number 17. This is in Parak Chaf in Ha'ara Chaf Ches. He writes, even if you were going to view a gun as a klish malachta le'iser, nevertheless, if a person's carrying it for the sake of instilling fear on everyone around him, it's still going to be mutter. Why? Because it's a klish malachta le'iser. Its primary function is to shoot and either kill or injure either animals or people. But in this case, I want to repurpose it. I want to use it to instill fear on people. That's a tashmas l'tzorach gufo. I'm using a klish malachta le'iser l'tzorach gufo. That would be mutter. But clearly what that would say is, I can't move it shlo l'tzorach klal. I can't move it simply to protect it. And if I have another way of instilling fear, I should choose that. Now I would say it's probably very difficult to instill fear into people another way. Because what are you going to do? Carry around a sword? It's not going to be any better. So therefore, even according to the way the Shmir Shabbos is understanding it, he happens to add in the parentheses that it seems that it's a klish malachta l'heter anyway. But even according to that understanding, even if you're going to argue and say it's a klish malachta l'iser, it still would be permissible to be used to instill fear on the surroundings. But again, one thing that which would be forbidden would be for a person to just go ahead and play around with it on Shabbos. And therefore, because of this machlokas, and because of the fact that many poskim disagree with Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, namely Rav Asher Weiss, like I mentioned before, I think it is appropriate for a person to follow the more stringent view. And a person can carry a gun on Shabbos to instill fear on people. Certainly, if a person's carrying a gun because he's a chashash, a pikuach nefesh, it's mutter anyway. But for a person just to simply use a gun on Shabbos, not even shooting it, but to hold it and to handle it for no reason, I would say a person should try to abide by the more strict view. However, there's certainly a very strong yeshami lismoch for a person who feels that they have a real compelling reason to carry a gun. Now, I want to explain something which is very important about a klisha malachta le'iser. I've used the term repurpose a number of times throughout this year. But the problem is the term repurpose is a poison word, because that's really the primary prohibition of muktzah. The primary prohibition of muktzah is to repurpose an item. So why is it that when it comes to a klisha malachta le'iser, It's permissible to repurpose it. So a hammer, its primary function is to bang in nails, which is an issur of bona. Why is it that when it comes to klisha malach de l'issur, it's permissible for a person to repurpose it for a malachas heter, for a permissible function? So why can't a person repurpose a hammer to open up a coconut? That should be the primary issur of mukta, which we saw last week. You take stones and you want to turn them into a cheer. That's forbidden. Why is it that when it comes to stones, repurposing it to a cheer is forbidden? But when it comes to a hammer, repurposing it into a nutcracker is permissible. So there's a very, very important yesod, a very important klal that the Chai Adam writes, and this is in source number 22. And he writes as follows. In the underlined line, the second to last line, "D'l'tashmishim elu eino makta midaito." Says the Chai Adam, a very important yesod and a klal in muktzah. And he's explaining why there's a difference between klishim lach de l'isra and every other muktzah. Says the Chai Adam, if it was Tuesday afternoon and I needed to break open a nut, what would I do? I would break it open, either with a nutcracker, but if I don't have a nutcracker, I'll use my hammer. So a hammer, by definition, well, since it's a keli, it's reserved for use, even though its primary use is to do isser, during the week, I would repurpose it as well to open up a coconut, or to open up a walnut. So as Shabbos came in, I view the function of a hammer as primarily to be used to bang in nails on Shabbos, and therefore it's not something I handle on Shabbos. But if I need to open a coconut and I have no other way of doing it, just as during the week I would resort to getting out my hammer, on Shabbos I can do that as well. So in other words, I'm not even repurposing it. It's a naturally ingrained second alternative purpose to a hammer. Now, you don't buy a hammer in Seven Mile Market, you buy it in Home Depot, because its primary function is to go ahead and use it as building equipment. However, it is destined for the purpose of heter and isser just as much as it is during the week on Shabbos. However, a stone is not designated for purpose at all. A stone is a stone. It's sitting on the ground. I don't think during the week, you know, I have lots of stones in the front of my yard. If I ever need them, I'll go out and get one. If I decide I want to go out and get one, I need to take this thing which has no purpose and designate it as an item that has purpose. But a hammer, which is a keli by its definition, it's something which I use all the time. So just to simply use an alternative function of it, that's going to be mutter on Shabbos, because I'm not changing the function. I'm just using the function of this item on Shabbos as much as I would do during the week. Which brings us to the last point, which is Muktzah Machmas Chesron Kis. Muktzah Machmas Chesron Kis really deserves a shir of its own, but it really follows through on this point. Say I have an item, which the example given in Shulchan Aruch, you could see it in source number 21, a shechita knife, or a knife that a mohel uses, for a bris milah. Now, a shochet who has a knife that he uses to shecht animals doesn't take that knife home with him and say, you know what, my wife served meat for dinner tonight, let me take out my shechita knife and cut up my steak. Why? Because that knife is very expensive, and it's a knife which is very carefully crafted to be used. It has to be perfect for shechita. Using it for other items can ruin it, so he's very careful to only use this knife for its one purpose. And what is that? Shechita. That's why in source number 21, Kol HaKelim Nitalim B'Shabbos, all Kelim, anything that's a Keli can be moved on Shabbos, Chutz Mimuktzah Machmas Chesron Kis. Besides from Muktzah, which I am Maktzah it, I reserve it to be used only for its designated purpose. Kegon sakin shal shchita or shal mila, a knife that's used for shchita or for mila. Veizmel shal sfarim, a knife which is used specifically for sofrim. Vesakin shal sofrim shemesaknim bemesakolmasin. Certain knives, certain kalim, are designated for only one purpose and is not repurposed for other purposes at all. Those items cannot be used, even though it's a knife. A knife is a kli shemlachto leheter. Or the truth is, it could be a kli shemlachto leisser if it's a shechita knife. Its general function is to kill animals. However, maybe I should be able to use that to cut my meat on Shabbos. The answer is no. Why? It follows the exact same logic as we said before. And in source number 23, the Chayyadim says this clearly. Devarim shei muktze machmas chesron kis. Items which are designated because of their high value, kemavor le'el, kivin shemakbid aleim, milishtamish behem b'chol shum tashmish. Since, during the week, you're never going to find someone who takes his shechita knife and brings it home and uses it to cut his dinner. Vimkein, makzo samidaitim legamri, the person is going to leave them reserved for their specific purpose, and therefore on Shabbos, if you decide to use your shechita knife, or you decide to use your mila knife to go ahead and cut your food, that would be repurposing it in a way where it was not at all designated to be used in that function before Shabbos. And that's something which would be usur. So this really, just to recap everything that we said, in this shiur we created a new type of mukta, and that is, even an item which has a purpose, it's a keli, it has a very good functional purpose, the halacha is, it cannot be used on Shabbos if it's a kli shemalachto le'isser. It cannot be used to protect the keli. A kli shemalachto leheter, even a keli which is generally used, it's a pitcher, a jug, it's a keli. It cannot be used for no purpose. And if it's a very expensive jug, let's say it's an heirloom, person inherited a jug from their great grandmother and it was brought all the way here from Europe. The person doesn't just take this thing and use it to serve water at dinner. Perhaps when he has very chashuv guests, when he has family from out of town, he uses it, but it's not something which is generally used just on a regular basis. These items cannot be used on Shabbos. What's the logic? The logic is very simple. Whatever this item is designated for, to be for during the week, is what you can do with it on Shabbos. So kli shemalachto le'isser, a hammer, what do I do with it during the week? I use it to build. Therefore, don't use it on Shabbos. I found a purpose for it on Shabbos, and I have no other item that I can use for that purpose. So then, yes, you can use your hammer to break open your coconut. However, if the hammer that you're discussing is not just a hammer, this is a well-crafted hammer, it's more of a designer item which is in the house, it's not used at all to bang in nails. It's something which, it's hard to explain that with regard to a hammer. But let's say it's an heirloom, it's a jug, or whatever else it might be, an izmel shel shechita. Sorry, a sakin shel shechita, a shechita knife. It's only a knife, a normal knife, I would certainly use on Shabbos. An axe, if I have an axe, I could certainly use it on Shabbos for a purpose that I come up with. And that was beforeish in the Mishnah. But a knife that's used for shechita, you cannot repurpose it. Why? Because during the week you wouldn't do that either, and therefore deciding on Shabbos to give it a new purpose, that would be something which would be forbidden. We'll stop here. I just would mention that there is a lot more to discuss with regard to this topic, and hopefully we'll have opportunities to discuss that another week. We just read, I see someone post something. Wouldn't taking an item which isn't a keli and making it one be makom patish? So makom patish would require, would be an ister makom patish if you do something to it. In other words, if you adjust the keli and you in other words, you build it, you carve it, or whatever else you do to it to actually fix it to be a keli, that would be makom patish. But here we're just redesignating it in your mind. Redesignating in your mind can't be makom patish. All right, any other questions before we go?
Yes, where is the source sheet?
I'm sorry, you can see it either if you click on the chat. You can see it.
Chat, uh-huh.
You can see it up there, and you can probably download it from there. And if you don't see it in the chat, so then I can email it to you later.
Okay, yes, please, because I don't...
Okay, I'll email it to you, okay?
Thank you very much.
All right. Have a wonderful night.
Thank you, you too.
Be well.